Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to read from 2 Kings chapter number 6, and then we're going to go to Psalm chapter number 34. So we're going to read the writings that we don't know who wrote them. There were chronicles. In other words, there were scribes that wrote the history of the nation of Israel. We know this was God-breathed, but they're just writing down what happened. And to them, it's just what happened that day. We look back on it, and we see the miraculous, we see the glory and the grandeur and the wonder of what God can and did do. But it was just life to them. It was happening in real time. And sometimes life in real time seems very mundane or fearful or gives us anxiety or peace. But as we replay the tape, as Brother Brandon said, we start thanking God and realize the list just goes on and on and on and on. And when we just stop, because we've got to stop sometime because we're distracted by what's going on in life. For David, it was the same. For Elisha, it was the same. And we're going to come back to talk about both David and Elisha. But I want to read to give us context. And what had been happening is Israel had been at war with Assyria all the days of Elijah the prophet and Elisha the prophet. There was a continual war. It was a battle for supremacy. And Elisha had been a prophet that had not been like Elijah. Elijah got depressed, and when he did, he wanted to die, you know. Sat down under the tree and said, "Oh, just kill me, God. This woman's after me. I'm done." But Elisha didn't get that way. He had a double portion of the Spirit of the Lord. And things are going well, except for the enemy keeps coming. And every time the enemy comes, they're rebuffed or their plans are made known. And in 2 Kings 6 and 14, "Therefore he sent horses and chariots, the king of Assyria, and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those that are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open the eyes that his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Everybody say all around.
All around.
Psalm 34 and 7, David writes, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Yes. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. To the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." Thank you for standing in honor to the Word of God. You may be seated. This morning I'm preaching on this subject matter, submitted and surrounded. I hope that you, as the Holy Spirit breathes through us today, that you and I will allow the Word of God to mix with faith in our hearts. We're here because we're God seekers. We believe God. We seek after God. And we believe that He does hear, He does answer. And we believe that His Word is truth. And my sermon today, I pray, will be anointed of the Holy Spirit, and that we will be provoked to revere and continue to worship Jesus today. And I thank you for your unabashed worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give one another freedom to worship in the way that we choose. Anything that doesn't bring confusion, like screaming, we don't do that. But there's a lot of other things that we do, because it's not a sound of confusion. It's all exaltation and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has been my prayer that we will all have a fresh view and confirmation of the constant presence of God and His army angel. The Bible in one place calls him the God of the army angels. He is in charge. Our spiritual eyes need to be opened. Again, I'm preaching submitted and surrounded. Perhaps like myself, there have been moments when you felt isolated and all alone, or you felt rejected or discouraged or rebuffed, or just God is silent. Likely at a time similar to one of the following is when the pain or panic set in. Death visited your family and you go, I'm not going to see him anymore. Are they all right? Did they go to heaven? What's going to go on? Oh no, that's my dad. That's my mom. And there's nobody older than me in the family. Now I'm in charge. I don't have anybody to go to, or a spouse passes away. And there's anxiety because you don't know what the future may look like. Or you've lost your employment and you weren't looking anywhere else. You didn't plan on this. You didn't think it was going to happen. But now you need income, or someone close to you was injured in a permanent way that's going to affect their mobility or their ability to function what we call normally, or a close friend or family member walked away from God, and you just can't imagine what their life is going to be like and what their eternity is going to be like. Or temptation was coming at you at a relentless pace and sickness drained your body and your strength. How did you feel? Were you in denial? Fear, anxiety, anger, full-on panic attacks. Maybe you were in grief. You went through all the stages of grief just in a few minutes' time or days' time. How did you act when stress came into your life? Did you withdraw? Did you ignore the attempts of others to contact you? Did you hide? Did you shake your fist at God? Or did you say, life is not fair? Well, welcome to the world. Life is not fair, but God is just. Yes. Life is never going to be fair through our eyes. The even larger question is, how will you and I respond today and in the future when those pressures time come? I'm not here to criticize anybody by the way that we respond, but I am here to say if we can get a glimpse of who he is and where he is and his power and might and glory in our life, and the fact that when we're submitted to him, he surrounds us, then we will not fear what man will do unto us. There's no reason to fear. Because God's in charge. That doesn't mean bad things aren't going to happen. That doesn't mean pain won't be there. That doesn't mean fear or anxiety won't momentarily come or might not visit us for a few days. But God is still in charge. Yeah. Reminds me of telling the story of my dad being locked in a foxhole for over a week, and they were in a firefight, and they didn't know if it was enemy or it was friendly fire, and they sat there in that foxhole over the Thanksgiving holiday, and they ate their sea rations and imagined and told their stories of being at Thanksgiving, but they were there in a safe place. They were just holed up, and sometimes that's the way it is for us spiritually. We just go to the rock, and we go to him, and we hide there, and we call out on the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run therein and are safe. And we just speak the name of Jesus like Brother Brandon sang and led us. And we just say, Jesus, that's all we can say. We don't have an answer. We don't have a solution. We can't even wrap our brain around what's happening in order to find a solution. But we can speak the name of Jesus. And that's all right. If you'll just stand. If you'll just stand and you've stood all you could, just keep standing, it's going to be all right. Because if you're submitted to God, you're surrounded by God. The initial scripture that we read is lifted from a fascinating faith-building story in which the main players are Elisha, his servant Gehazi, the king of Syria, and Jehoram, the king of Israel. The king of Syria was at war with the king of Israel, as we mentioned at the outset of our sermon. And the idea was that if King Jehoram was killed, the nation would be leaderless and easy to defeat. The king of Syria tried to kill Jehoram, the king of Israel, not once, but twice. But each time it was thwarted because his intelligence had told him where the king would be, and when they get there, he wouldn't be there. Somebody was in counter-espionage. Somebody was spying. Somebody knew when they were coming. because God had given Elisha instructions as to where the king of Israel should hide. And each time the Syrians would make a plan, oh, Gehazi wasn't running into the camp of the enemy, but the Spirit of the Lord was there, and the voice of God was speaking to Elisha and saying, you don't have to go anywhere. Just sit here and pray. Just listen to my voice, and I'll tell you what to do. The Assyrian reveals to their king that the counter to their spies is a prophet by the name of Elisha, and he says, everything you say in your bedchamber, he knows. And so, you know, Smarty says, well, let's just go and kill him. Everything you say in your bedchamber, he knows. I mean, just go figure that. But you see, the enemy is not as bright as we think he is. He's going to lose. He's not going to win. He's not going to overcome. And so they send 50,000 soldiers to the city of Dothan for one man. So if you ever want to think about your value or your power, think about it in that form. We were riding home from the airport last night when we took off out of here to go on our vacation. A guy that picked us up was playing hip-hop, and it was real vulgar, and I didn't like it at all, so I complained on the app. But the guy that picked us up when we came home, he was playing Christian music. So vacation's bad, home's good. So I'm coming home, and I said, are you a Christian? He said, yes. I said, I like your music. And the conversation began, and he asked me if I was. I'm a pastor. And he said, oh, you're standing in the gap. And one of the statements he made, he said, you know, people don't think we're here in Portland, but there's a lot of us here in Portland. There are thousands of men and women that believe that Jesus is Lord. They may not have all truth, but they're saying, no, this is the battle is not ours, but it is the Lord. You know, guys, we may look invisible to them, but it doesn't matter, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So I don't know what all Elisha was doing that day. He was having his Venti 180 degree cinnamon dolce mocha with an extra pump of mocha. Or whatever, you have a caramel macchiato or one of those nasty green drinks. And he was sitting there drinking it. I'm sure it wasn't that. And he's drinking it. He's relaxing. He's inside, and his servant's out on the balcony, and he walks out, and we never know what the day will bring, and he just sees nothing but soldiers, and he sees the banners, and these are not Israelites. These weren't dispatched by the king of Samaria. These are people from Assyria, and he goes back in, and he sounds the alarm to Elisha, and Elisha can hear it in his voice, but Elisha knew he was surrounded because he was submitted. He remembered a day when one chariot and some horses of fire came down and swooped his master and carried him away. And from that day on, I believe he was more aware of the spiritual than he had ever been before. Folks, we need to lock in on the times when God showed up and remember those times. Remember when you were sick and you spoke the name of Jesus, or somebody prayed over you in the name of Jesus and you got well. Think about that next time you get sick, because you'll probably get sick again. You just need to remember when fear was striking your heart, but you came into the house of God and you couldn't explain how or why, but just peace saturated your soul. And you said, here I am with my brothers and sisters, and it's going to be all right. I'm going to walk out of this place this afternoon, and I'm going to do just fine. And Elisha just said, oh, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And then he says, go back and look. And he goes back out and look and still sees the horses. He still sees the army. 50,000 people surrounding this little town of Dothan. And near as I could tell, it was probably twice the population, twice as many soldiers as the population of Dothan had surrounded it. But God opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw that the sky was filled with chariots. and horses of fire, that the mountains were filled, that the high ground was filled. I am so glad that there is an invisible world. We can see that world occasionally. We have a glimpse of it, and there's a flash of light. And when we feel the presence of God and we see somebody receive the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues for the very first time, it's like, boom, we see into eternity and we see into the spiritual realm. And when somebody's delivered from demonic depression, oppression, or possession, we see into that world. But Elisha was aware of it all the time. I don't know if he saw it all the time. That'd be a little distracting, wouldn't it? Because you're looking at that, and this is right here. And then you could walk right through that, but you bump into the world. It's a solid world that feels permanent. But it's the world that we can't see that is permanent. And this is all temporary. And then something amazing happened as Elisha said, okay, smite them with blindness. And he walks out there. One man. The same guy that's telling him, the king, hey, move. Hey, move. He says, hey, who are you looking for? We're looking for the king. All right, I'll take you to him. And he marches them, get this, 11 miles. Wow. In the darkness of blindness. Clank, clank, boom, 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 boom. Horses. The horses can see, but the people can't see. 11 miles in the darkness of blindness. He leads all these soldiers. They don't know where they're going. They have no clue, uphill or downhill. They haven't ever walked the road in darkness. You know, we think we know where we're going because we use all of these sensuary perceptions. But just blindfold yourself. And it's a blind man's bluff or pin the tail on the donkey or whatever you want to play. And it's fun to watch people because they're so confused. It's because they can no longer see the world as it was. But oh, they marched those 11 miles. They got those 11 miles down the road. I am so thankful that God is surrounding those that are submitted. And there they marched. There they went on. They were submitted and they walked them into the courts of the king of Samaria. And when they were there, he said, now God, open their eyes. And they look around. Oh, there's the king. Are we going to rush him? Wait a minute. They might just blind us again. They had experienced the supernatural. When the enemy experiences the supernatural, it's confusing and it drives fear into their heart. But when you and I experience the supernatural, that lets us know if it's the assault of the enemy, we must be on the right track because he's attacking us. But if it's the presence of God, don't worry, help is on the way, and it doesn't matter what is going on, it's going to be just fine. And the enemy was now surrounded by the kingdom of Samaria. They were fed, they were released, and went home. And the Bible says they didn't bother the king of Samaria for the rest of the duration of his term. You see, if you're submitted, he's watching. If you and I are submitted, we are surrounded. David the king had fully proven this concept to be more than an imaginative or wishful thinking. He knew God had been watching him. He could feel God watching. He had witnessed God watching him by the results. His life had been guarded. His steps had been ordered. And so he pens these words in Psalm 33 and 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Oh, I'm so glad God is in charge. It doesn't matter what the economy of this world does. My economy is invested in heaven, where moth and rust doesn't corrupt, where thieves can't break through and steal, and the S&P or the NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange isn't going to make it plummet because I've guarded it by giving it to God. We again read from the writings of King David in Psalm 34 and 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, who revere and worship him with awe, and each one of them he delivers. That's one of the beautiful things about you and I worshiping together in the presence of God. We're showing God we fear him, we respect him, we regard him, we love him, and that's when we know that the angel angels of the Lord are round about us. You and I don't have to worry. More are they that be with us than they that be with them. You know, angels don't reproduce, and they're outnumbered 2-1, good to bad. You can read Revelation and see kind of the wrap up of the story. When Lucifer fell as lightning to the earth and there was great destruction, we know this, that only 1/3 went with him and 2/3 stayed with God. They don't reproduce. And I know that the demons that were there that tempted people in the past are still alive. But the angels that were there when the battles were won, when the victories were wrought, the angels that were on that hillside round about Dothan are still alive and well today. They're not novices. They know what they're doing. They know how to fight the battle. They're just waiting for you and I to speak the name of Jesus. And when we speak the name of Jesus, he says go and they go. He says reach and they reach. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. The New Living Testament translation puts it this way: the angel of the Lord guards all who fear him and he rescues them. I'm preaching submitted and surrounded. This is not just an Old Testament promise. It is a timeless promise. The New Testament confirmation is given in Hebrews 1 and 13. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool? They're not sitting down. He hasn't said that to them. He says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? In other words, they're active. They're on ready. They're on guard. They're around about us. We may not see them, but sometimes we can feel the flutter of their wings as they brush past us. And we just know that help is on the way. The New Testament reality is that we have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with His Holy Spirit. We have been obeying the Great Commission by going and impacting this world. And so it was with Peter. And because of that, he was arrested, tried, imprisoned, and bound in chains between two soldiers. He was surrounded. He couldn't get up. They didn't just chain him to the wall where he could wiggle around and try to squeeze out, but they chained him to a couple of soldiers. So if he tried to get loose, surely he'd wake one of those up, or they would be aware. And in Acts chapter number 12 and verse 5, it says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. I am so glad that prayer works, that God answers prayer, that you and I can call out on the name of Jesus. We speak it over every circumstances, over family, over depression, over fear, over anxiety, and God is there to answer. And Herod was getting ready to bring him out the next morning to try him. But while he's sleeping, the Bible says a bright light shone down in the prison. And it shook things. And then Peter woke up. And it wasn't his wife nudging him in the ribs. It was an angel saying, hey, get up. Arise quickly. And when he got up, his chains fell off. And the angel said, gird yourself and put on your sandals. And so he did. And then verse 8 says, and he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. Verse 9 of Acts 12 reads, so he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. I'm telling you, if you're submitted, you're surrounded. We may think we're imagining things, and that which seems imaginative is more real than the things that we can touch with our hands and smell with our nose and taste with our mouth. And verse 10 says, and when they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. He didn't realize he was surrounded. I may be in the prison, but I'm surrounded by love. I may be in the midst of a depressing situation, but I'm surrounded by love. My body may be aching, and I may not understand that the doctors can't diagnose clearly what's going on, but I'm surrounded by his love. And the next place we find Peter is standing at the door of the house, and he's knocking, and Rhoda comes to the door and looks at him, and he says, hey, let me in. And she gets scared and she runs in and says, hey, it's freaky out there. Peter's out there. Oh no, it's an angel. Oh, there was angels out there, but it wasn't just angels, it was Peter, because if you're submitted, you're surrounded, and they took him out of the prison house and liberated him. I am so glad that God is with you, that God is with me. Matthew 28 and 20, Jesus, it says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. So the Lord of the armies of heaven is with you and with me. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where we are. It just matters that we are submitted to Him. Yeah. Hebrews 13 and 5 reads, and let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. So if you've ever had any fear in your life, I welcome you to stand. And for the rest of you that have never taken a risk, you can stay seated. You know, some fear is delicious. I petted an alligator yesterday. Isn't that weird? Had an alligator? Yeah, and that's not the whole story. It was that long and its mouth was taped shut and somebody was holding it. I say, I petted an alligator. There wasn't any fear because it couldn't do anything to me. But there have been other things that I've been involved in that it's like, but it's almost what I call a delicious fear. It's like, yes. You know, the most exciting moment is just before you go over the ditch on your Stingray bicycle. When you hit, boom, and the front wheel comes up. Because you don't know if you're going to hit the sprocket on the other side or the front wheel and flip, or if you're going to hit the rear wheel and barely be able to get over the other side, or if you're going to totally clear it. And so it's when you go airborne and you can't go any faster once you're in the air. I mean, you can't pedal, you can't steer, you can't do anything. You've already set your course. And so it is for you and I. We're going to fight the enemy. They are going to oppose us. Sickness will come our way. Opposition will be there. But what matters is what we do before that happens. Are you going in the right direction? Are you pedaling your bike as fast as you can? Are you solidly on your way? You may not be always able to see the hand of God at work or feel His presence or His voice. It may go silent for times. Your body may be weary and your mind may be stressed and your spirit may be troubled, but He's still working. We can echo the words and adopt the mindset of the spiritual stance of the Apostle Paul when he wrote in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. He's saying, I'm getting old. My body's broken. But inside, I'm still running, baby. I mean, some of you guys, we know how that feels, don't we? You still think you're 16 till you try to pull a wheelie. And then you realize you're not 16 anymore. Verse 17 says, for our light affliction is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Every pressure that we face here, there's not just a commensurate or an equal opposite, but the glory is far exceeding the pressure. It's like, hey guys, I got this investment. If you'll give me your money, I'll give you 30% in 10 days. It's a really good deal. It almost sounds like a Ponzi scheme, doesn't it? But it's not. Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. So yes, we're going through pressure and struggle. But I remember I'm surrounded by love. I'm surrounded by the angels of the Lord. And verse 18 reads, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal." If you're submitted, He's watching. And if you're submitted, you're surrounded. And so today, my whole goal is for us to come and submit to Him again. And that does, it may mean repentance or confession. Or it might just be saying, "Okay, God, everything that I have is yours. I know I've said it before. I don't know how many times, God, but here I am. I'm submitted to you, and I want you to surround me. And I know I'm surrounded by you. And I'm going to walk out of this place, and it doesn't matter what physical, emotional, or spiritual battle I am going through. I know you're on my side. It doesn't matter if 50,000 of the enemy surround the town that I live in. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And more are they that be with us than they that be with them." Hey, they're outnumbered, not you and I. We look around in this world and we may see, well, there's fewer Christians in Portland than there are heathens, but there's more angels of light than there are angels of darkness. And the angel of the Lord encamps. That means they set up camp. They follow you around. It's almost like being in a herd of people getting off the cruise ship and everybody's bumping into everybody and you're going, "Give me some personal space here." But I don't want those angels to give me any personal space. Just crowd in, man. Touch me all you want. Does anybody want to submit to Him and rejoice in the fact that we're surrounded by His love? That we're surrounded by the angels of the Lord? The angels of the Lord encamp round about those that fear Him.